We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
You know the name, but do you know the man? You know a story, but have you really captured his heart? His purpose? Is it clearly seen by you? You know, but you look again. Stare for a while and ask,
glad to be in the house with you today. I want to welcome you to Redemption Church. We are a community of people brought together by Jesus. What brings us together? Jesus. We believe He is the answer to everything. He's the answer to everything. He's the answer to violence. He's the answer to racism, anger, depression, addiction, divorce, hypocrisy, poverty, greed, all our finances, your stress, your confusion, whatever your question is. I'm here to tell you, we believe that Jesus is the answer. Redemption Church, do you believe Jesus is the answer? We believe He is the answer for Irving, Texas. We believe He's the answer for Maikop, Russia. We believe He's the answer for everywhere in the world, every country, every city, every home. He is the answer. My name is Chris Fluitt. I'm the lead pastor here at Redemption Church, and I'm just excited to tell you about Jesus today. Is it all right if we get a little bit excited about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? We're in the third week of our Who Is This series. Week number one, we talked to you about the story of Mary Magdalene. She was the first to arrive at that empty tomb on that Easter morning. And she sees Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life. And she sees Him face to face, but she mistakes Him for a gardener. It's a fabulous story. That's the first week. And then the second week, last week, we told you the story of Jesus on a boat with His disciples. And a terrible storm comes. But Jesus rebukes the winds and the waves. He stands up and He rebukes that storm that's freaking everybody else out. And guess what happens? It calms down. It immediately calms down. The disciples, who had been scared of drowning in the storm, are now terrified of Jesus. You have to read that. It's in your Bible, Mark 4 and 41. They are terrified of Jesus. When we talk to you about a Jesus who has scary power, that when you're exposed to it, it changes everything. And you are left just like those disciples. They were left. These people who knew Jesus so well are asking, who is this that even the winds and the waves obey Him? Jesus did miracles that made everyone reevaluate Him. Today, I want to tell you, I want to ask you, who is this we looked past? Look at somebody and say, who is this we looked past? Jesus is God. That is one of the most important things you can find out in Scripture. Jesus is God. He is God in the flesh. He is God in a bod, if you will. Now, Jesus did crazy miracles, right? Because He's God in a body. He spoke with an unmistakable authority. He spoke truth this world had never heard before. People that were professional truth tellers, the Pharisees, heard Him tell the truth. And they marveled and they said, who is this guy? Because this is nothing like we've ever heard before. This Jesus working miracles, speaking truth no one's ever seen, being raised from the dead. I ask you this, how can anyone look past that? How can they do it? But they did. We do also. We look past Him also. We are often guilty of thinking we fully know Jesus. Oh, I know Jesus. I've got Jesus all figured out. I know everything there is to know about Jesus. I went to Sunday school. I can tell you every story about Jesus. And we might know every story that's written in the Bible about Jesus. We might be able to quote some really good Jesus passages. But let me tell you, it is a mistake for you to say you've got Jesus figured out. And if that's you, you'll end up looking right past Jesus. After many car accidents, if you've ever been in a car accident or around a car accident, you'll usually hear something like this said, "I never saw them." Somebody in that accident says, I didn't even know they were there. You see, they were there, but the driver wasn't aware of their presence. You know, had they seen them, had they been aware, then they could have avoided the accident. Raising kids, let me tell you, raising kids, you spend a great deal of time making them aware of danger. And you will repeat those sentences over and over and over again. Look both ways before you cross the street. This is a no touch, hot. Kids, could you not play around the wood chipper? Stuff like that. But then we as adults, we aren't always aware of the dangers around us either, are we? You see, here I am, I'm telling my kid, be careful. And then I am not maybe aware of the dangers in my own life. Don't smoke, it'll kill you. It's crazy, but we still have to tell people that in this day and age. Don't smoke, it'll kill you. Somebody's not aware. Be careful with that credit card. No touch, hot. Husbands and wives, could we not play around with our relationship? Are you aware of the dangers around you? Because they're all around you. Are you aware? Awareness is important. Would you agree? Awareness is important. Look at somebody. Just say, hey, awareness is important. The preacher has a point. Awareness is important. You know, there you go. Important? I can't talk. Today, we're going to take a test. Don't freak out on me, but we got a test for you. Because awareness is so important, we have an awareness test for you. I want you to please pay close attention to this video. We need your undivided...
This is an awareness test. How many passes does the team in white make?
Go!
The answer is 13. But did you see the moonwalking bear?
No!
I want the truth. Did you see the moonwalking bear the first time? I showed this video to my dad last night, and he said, they edited that video because that bear wasn't in there the first time. No, I promise you, the bear was in there the first time, just like he was the second time, all right? Maybe or maybe not, he was really moonwalking. He had trouble with the slide, but that bear was there. We're so busy counting the passes, we missed the moon walking bear. Are you aware? You see, it's hard to believe you could miss something so outlandish, so out of the ordinary as a moonwalking bear. You would think we would notice that, but we aren't always aware. We miss things that are right in front of us, things that are out of this world, things that are that crazy. I want to tell you that Jesus, he is the most remarkable person to ever walk the globe. There's never been anyone more remarkable than Jesus Christ. Yet, are we aware? He blows moonwalking bears away with his remarkability. But are we aware? We are exposed to the beauty of this earth. You see it every morning. But are you aware of the Creator? Even we as Christians will go through a day surrounded by beauty and never think about the one who created it. We have stories of his healing and his salvation, but are we aware that he is able to meet our need right here and right now? Are you aware of that? And we know We know that Jesus was there for the thief on the cross, but are you aware that he is here right now for you? Awareness doesn't come easy for mankind. Awareness doesn't come easy. Next time my wife says something I wasn't paying attention, she goes, "Did you hear what I said? I'm going to say these words." Awareness doesn't come easy for mankind. The preacher said it, sister. All right. But awareness does not come easy for mankind. Adam and Eve hid from God because they weren't aware he loved them. They were scared to death. They weren't aware. He created all that for them. They weren't aware he loved them. Although Israel had seen miracles in Egypt, crazy miracles, and they had passed through the Red Sea and seen their enemy drowned in that Red Sea, they thought at every moment, even though they had gone through all that, they thought they were going to die at every waking moment. "Well, here's the day we're going to die. We're out here. We're going to starve to death, Moses. Thank you very much for taking us out here to die." You see, they weren't aware that God would never leave them, that God wouldn't let them die in a desert, that God who brought them out of bondage wouldn't let them die like that. He was going to make them a great and mighty nation. But they weren't aware. And today, although we have knowledge that Jesus was raised from the dead and that he ascended into glory and that he is going to come back one day, although we know that, although we tell other people about it, we live life like we are unaware that he could come back today. See, mankind, it's not easy for mankind to be aware. It was prophesied that we would look past Jesus. That was prophecy. That we would be unaware of him. And that Messiah would have to be revealed to us. I want you to look with us. This is one of the best messianic chapters in the Bible. It's amazing. It's Isaiah 53, verse 1. "Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Verse 2. "The servant grew up before God, a scrawny seedling, a scrubby plant in a parched field. There was nothing attractive about him, nothing to cause us to take a second look." Verse 3, "He was looked down on and passed over. A man who suffered, who knew pain firsthand. One look at him and the people turned away. We looked down on him, thought he was scum." This was the prophecy that we would look past Jesus, that we wouldn't be aware of who he was, that anyone would look at Jesus and think he was scum, is someone that's not aware. Can I get an amen? Amen. The prophecy about the Savior we just read, the Savior of the world, it starts off like this. Who's going to believe? That's what Isaiah 53 and 1 basically says. Who's going to believe? Who's going to believe this? To whom will the arm of the Lord, that is the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, the Savior, who is that going to be revealed to? Revealed. You see, we aren't made aware by our own intelligence. You listen up. You might be really smart. Sure you are. You're probably way smarter than me. You probably have a college degree that blows me away. I studied music. I'm smart. All right. You probably blow me away in intelligence, but I'm here to tell you that your intelligence, it won't make you aware. You might be struggling with faith today because of this, in fact. In fact, smart people have a hard time coming to Jesus. It's one of these crazy things. If you have trouble with this, we'd like to sit down and we'll have a logical conversation with you. But we have to tell you that intelligence and logic can only take you so far in your awareness. Intelligence won't make you aware. But guess what? We aren't made aware by our traditions either. Your traditions won't make you aware. You might have been raised in church and you heard sermons on every topic in Scripture. That might be you. But I have to tell you, traditions can only take you so far. They can't make you fully aware of Jesus. Because awareness of God doesn't come naturally. It comes supernaturally. It comes supernaturally. Isaiah 53:1 says, to whom has the arm of the Lord been, say it, revealed. Say it with me, revealed. Our scripture memory verse for this month is found in Matthew 16. When Jesus and Peter have a question. And the question is, who is this? Who do people say I am? And Peter answers that question of who is this Jesus? Let's read it. Simon Peter answered, Matthew 16:16. He answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Verse 17, Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed. Underline that in your head. It was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. Man can't reveal this. Intelligence, logic can't reveal this. Traditions, your religious upbringing, going to church every Sunday, keeping the golden rule and all the Ten Commandments, it can't reveal this. It can't make you aware. What reveals this? The Father in heaven reveals Jesus. The Father in heaven reveals Jesus. Let me tell you, here's some good news right now. You don't have to take a man's word for this, because a man can't reveal this. You don't have to take my word for it. You don't have to build your life on what I say as a preacher. You don't have to reveal your life on what a denomination says, or even a book. If you have trouble opening up the Bible and saying, no, is this really the word of God? According to this, it tells us from Jesus' own mouth that the Father reveals who Jesus is. So if you don't have to take my word for it, a church's word for it, and if you have questions about Scripture and if it's valid, that's all right. You need to ask the Father to reveal Jesus to you. You need to ask the Father to reveal Jesus to you. Isaiah 53 says that Jesus is someone we would look right past, that he's someone we wouldn't give a second look. Let me tell you, we need a supernatural revelation, because awareness of God doesn't come naturally. It comes supernaturally. In Acts chapter 9, there is a Pharisee named, come on, Bible scholars, Saul. Acts chapter 9, there's this Pharisee named Saul. All right? We're first century church. We know the book of Acts, right? In Acts chapter 9, there is a Pharisee named Saul. All right. A Pharisee was a religious leader. They had a lot of knowledge. They had a lot of intelligence. They had religious practice and ritual. So they had the best of both worlds. They were the most highly educated people in all of Israel's society. And they were also the smartest people, highest education, and they had the most religious practice. They had it all. So here they have intelligence and they have tradition. And here is a Pharisee of the Pharisees, Saul, in Acts chapter 9. They could quote scripture. They could do all these things. But let me tell you, you can do all these things. You can have religious practice. You can be very smart. And you can be able to quote scripture. You can do all those things, but still look right past God. Saul the Pharisee is on his way to a town called Damascus. And he had letters of authority that would allow him to arrest anyone that was a believer in Jesus Christ. He had the authority of the government of Rome behind him. Big deal, right? And Saul thought he had the authority of God behind him, because his church, his religion told him that he did. Saul, through his intelligence and tradition, thought he was aware of God. He thought he understood the situation. But awareness of God, it doesn't come naturally. Help me out. It comes supernaturally. Thank you. We're going to read a little bit in Acts chapter 9. But suddenly, in Acts chapter 9, verse 3, as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. Verse 4. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. Saul has a "who is this" moment. We all need a "who is this" moment. A moment where the Father reveals Jesus. See, Saul lacks awareness. He thinks he's serving God. He's got all this intelligence. He's got all this religious tradition. But he is not aware. He finds out he's not serving God, but he's persecuting God. And his people, the Christians. I want you to imagine for a second Saul's surprise when he hears that voice come back, "I am Jesus." Think about that. Saul was trying to serve God, but he was looking right past Jesus. He asks, "Who are you, Lord? Who are you, God?" And that voice comes back, "I am Jesus." He was looking right past the God he was trying to serve. If you look past Jesus, if you look past Jesus, you can't serve God. The amount you can serve him is going to be extremely limited because you have to see Jesus. And I want to tell you that there is a real danger here. Just because you're at church today doesn't mean you're aware of Jesus. Even though you sang a few songs and you listened to a sermon that's even about Jesus, you could leave this place looking right past Jesus. Are you trying to serve God but looking right past Jesus? Because that's a problem. There is a moonwalking bear in the room. Are you aware? Saul thought he had Jesus all figured out. He thought Jesus was a criminal, that he was a blasphemer, and all his followers needed to be wiped away. We need to get rid of this problem. That's going to make Jehovah God really happy. But Saul needed to look again. He needed to think again. He needed a "who is this" moment. We need Jesus to make us aware. We need the Lord to reveal himself to us. Saul in Acts chapter 9 fell to the ground blind. Suddenly blind. One moment on top of the world, letters from Rome, the authority of his religious experience behind him. The next moment, confused, blind, thrown to the ground. And this physical blindness from God, God was using that physical blindness to make Saul aware of his spiritual blindness. Crawling around on the desert sand, blind and hearing voices. Saul, are you aware? Are you aware yet, Saul? Is this going to be what it takes for you to be aware? I tell you, one of the scariest things I see as a pastor is people go through stuff and they get knocked to the desert ground just like Saul, yet they aren't aware. They go through crazy stuff and it's like, you aren't praying yet? You're going through all this problem in your marriage and you haven't been down to this altar to talk to Jesus about it? What is that? I tell you, that's an awareness problem. That's not being aware of Jesus. They might be in the room, but they aren't aware. They might be at church, but they aren't aware. They might have heard the sermon. They might have sung the song, but they aren't aware of Jesus because Jesus isn't revealed in the natural. He's revealed supernaturally. If you're going through problems, let me just wake you up. Let me shake you a little bit. You need to be aware because this problem's going to bring you to Jesus. You're trying to serve God, but looking right past Jesus. Looking right past a moonwalking bear in the room. Saul is now aware. Now aware of the voice of Jesus. And he receives a vision instructing him where to go. In this vision, he would go to a man named Ananias, and Ananias would lay his hands on him, and Saul would then receive his sight again. That was the vision. We'll read what happens, because this exactly happens, Acts 9 and 17. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it, placing his hands on Saul. He said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Verse 18, immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. I want that imagery to come into your head about the scales falling off. Saul was changed forever after this. When he hears and receives this message of Jesus Christ, when he is prayed for, that is when the scales fall off. And that is when he gets baptized. And that is when everything changes. He became known as the Apostle Paul. And he went everywhere preaching about Jesus, the one he had looked past. He is now preaching. The one who has now given him back his sight, he is telling everyone about him. Are you looking past Jesus? Redemption Church, are we looking past Jesus? See, I think the church always makes a mistake of saying, "You see, this world, problem is they're looking right past Jesus." No, no, no. You in this room. You, not the world. We'll deal with them later. We'll preach Jesus to them later. I'm preaching to you right now. Believers in Jesus, you believe in him, but are you really aware of him? Are you looking right past Jesus? I know you're at church today, or you're taking some time to view this online. I get it. You're probably a Christian. You probably believe in Jesus. But could it be you're like Saul? Could it be that you think you have Jesus all figured out and you're just looking for, you know, a nice piece of knowledge about him that you can add to your Jesus knowledge collection? Could it be that you're trying to figure him out logically today? Maybe that's you. But there is a spiritual revelation waiting for you today. When was the last time you asked God to reveal himself? When was the last time you asked that? When was the last time you asked him, "God, take off these scales. Take off these blinders. Unveil these eyes. And let me see you. Reveal yourself to me." You see, faith comes from seeing Jesus. Faith comes from seeing Jesus. We've got a scripture right here, Hebrews 12 and 2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. See, when we see him, when we look right at him, things happen. There is so much in scripture. There's so many stories of people that see him. And that is when everything changes. When you see him, your faith is perfected. Many people in the Bible, they saw him and they were changed. Moses saw him one day and his face glowed. The demoniac in the gospel saw him. And although he was bound by thousands of demons, he is now running and worshiping Jesus. Something changed. And a centurion at the cross, seeing, looking up and seeing a crucified Christ, he suddenly utters, "Surely this was the Son of God." And Saul, the Christian killer, he saw Jesus. He came in contact with Jesus. He became aware of Jesus and everything changed. And now we don't call him Saul the Pharisee. We call him Paul the Apostle. Don't look past Jesus. Don't look past Jesus. Look to him. He's the author and perfecter of our faith. I'm going to ask you to stand. We do three things every time we come to Redemption Church. We sing praise together. We all worship together. That's number one. We worship Jesus. We're looking to Jesus and worshiping him. Number two, everybody receives the word of God. We are taking the word of Jesus. Jesus is the word, and we're looking at it, and we're contemplating it, and we're putting it in our hearts. It's not just, oh, what is a really good little sermon idea I can throw at you today? No, it's receiving Jesus. And just as Jesus broke the bread and he gave it and it multiplied, that is what he's doing today. And number three, we're going to come to the altar and we're going to talk to Jesus. We're going to talk to him. It's really hard to talk to someone if you're not looking at them. I mean, you got cell phones, but if you're going to have a face-to-face, you need to look at them. I want somebody in this house to look right at Jesus and see him today. We're about to open up these altars, and when we come, I want you to come talk to Jesus. I want you to come ask him, God, reveal yourself to me. I know scripture, and I know stories, but God, that stuff's all great, but I want to see you today. I want to know you today. I want to be close to you today. I want you to give sight to me, and I want you to reveal yourself to me. If you want special prayer in this place, I want you to know there's a very alive Jesus in this house. He wants to meet your need. We want to pray with you. If you want special prayer, you come in the first 2 feet, and we're going to pray with you. And if you don't come in the first 2 feet, no one is going to bother you. Why don't you come? Why don't you come see Jesus today? Why don't you come ask him to open up your heart and open up your eyes and reveal himself to you? Father, right now in the name of Jesus, no one.
Thank you for joining us. For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. And be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.